Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. I am so excited to welcome Ashley Shaw back to Couch Time with Amy Wine, but I think you were on here when it was called the Marriage on Fire podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes. And I've changed it, rebranded. So welcome to the new one. And it's so important to have you back because I want to talk to you about being an entrepreneur that works with your husband and being an entrepreneur and having a baby. Mm-hmm. I know that has definitely been a shift for you. So update us and tell us like what's going on in your world since we spoke to you last. I know that could probably take us 2 hours, but...
I'm trying to think when, okay, so this has at least been how long, Amy? So I'm going to have to cater my update to how long it's been. Has it been like a year? It's been a year. At least a year. Okay. Okay. Got it.
You had the baby, I think, barely.
So I'm a little more seasoned now to what this looks like. So, okay. So I would say the biggest shifts for me. So it's been a little bit different because I've had Bill home with me for the past 16 months, and he just went back to work this month, really, the beginning of January here. So it's been a little bit different in terms of what that looks like and then becoming a mom. So let's start with the entrepreneurial side of things.
Okay.
It's so funny because I think for so long I had my sights set on, if Bill and I can just work together full time in this business, it's going to be perfect. And that's where we want to go. And so that was always my dream to get us there. And it's been funny because I think along the way, we all have these benchmarks that we have in our life that we're like, okay, well, if we're making, you know, $30,000 a month, then we'll feel good. And that's when we know we can like let go of the other job and different things like that. And then you set the bar higher and higher and higher. And I think when you're in a relationship, not only do you have your, and I mean, entrepreneurial as well as marriage, you, each of you bring to the table your own money blocks, your own, and maybe a rounder term for that is your own like limiting beliefs, childhood traumas, egos. You bring all this stuff to the table, right? And so now you're in a relationship where you're not only married to somebody, but then as an entrepreneurial partnership, you have to like take on those things in the mix, right? So If, you know, for example, I came from a background that my family didn't really know how to regulate themselves around their nutrition and health. Like they were always like watching it. And so I learned those behaviors that I needed to watch what I eat. I needed to get on the scale. All these things. So I, of course, bring that to our marriage and our, you know, that specific example, right? Yeah. So that's what I mean by like, we have these things that if we weren't taught how to deal with them in a way that was maybe a, call it a healthy way or call it a way that helps regulate us, then it becomes like a problem, not a problem, but a challenge you're dealing with in both partnerships and both arenas. And so that's been a really big learning lesson through our entrepreneurial journeys and through this last year. I think that I maybe didn't realize how much of a shift it was going to be bringing a baby into the world. And then also, because my business was always my baby. So I had all that time that I would, and I'm not saying it was good quality time spent in my business, but I just felt like, oh, I have 10 hours I can pour into this today. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really matter the quality. So I think I don't want to say I lost myself over the past year, but I've definitely found myself over the past month, like getting more into that rhythm. Mm-hmm. I think also like childcare just this past year for everyone, like it really threw a wrench into things in the sense that like I didn't have that concentrated time to like uninterrupted time. Like, and especially when you're working in the same household, you can hear your baby crying or, you know, that they, you know, they want you or something like that. It's definitely not that concentrated work environment. So I think biggest learning lessons from working in that partnership over the past year is that, you know, I can't rely on Bill to like, you know, be my inspiration and be my motivation. Like I have to find that for myself. And the more that I work on myself in terms of, I'm just really interested in that sort of do the work. There's a recent book that has come out. Like I've been just diving into that sort of development for myself, and even Oprah's new book, What Happened to You, about the, you know, these childhood traumas that leave a lasting imprint on us. So that's been a big part of my learning journey over the last year, that, you know, the horizon keeps changing with goals, right? Like we think like, oh, I get to this point and then I'm just going to relax. That's just not how it works. Like the bars kept moving for what this, you know, happiness looks like, and not even happiness, maybe more so I'll feel different when this happens. And I can tell you that from when our business was inconsistent, like 10K months to when we hit seven figures, sure, there was like a little bit of a rush, but it almost went deeper into a bit of a low because it was like, oh, this isn't giving me that emotional jolt that I thought. Yeah.
I hear that a lot. And I was telling you before we got on here, I'm in a mastermind with a lot of people that are 7-8 figure earners. And I have not talked to one of them yet who said when they hit that 7-figure, there's just something about that number to hit and that pinnacle that they were like, oh, okay, well, what next?
Yeah.
So one of the things I've been talking about is what's your Super Bowl? And maybe don't make it a financial goal. I was in here actually just one-on-one coaching with somebody that owns an interior design business. And she wanted to make this big financial goal to double her income. Well, what does that mean to you? Like, why? She goes, I don't know. It just sounds like it's what I should do. Okay, well, tell me your why behind it. And she couldn't. Okay, but could you find a why behind working, making a goal to only be working in your zone of genius? Right? So if that could be your goal, the money, if you get to that, like the money's going to come with it. Right? But you're going to feel it more when you get there. So what's the Super Bowl?
When I thought about this for me, it's actually like there was this place I got to right before probably the year before I hit seven figures. And it was the only way to sort of describe it was like, I sort of had already felt like I had hit seven figures and that there was just this abundance that had like taken over me. And I think there was probably some combined things because we had had like two failed pregnancies and I was finally pregnant. And, you know, we were past that 18 week mark. And so there was that. So there was like, I just felt this, like, I feel so abundant. Like there's nothing that is in the way of me feeling so like, so grateful. And it just felt like this, I was like on a higher level of some sort. And that feeling, it didn't actually matter what was in the bank account and what was going on. I just felt so at peace. And that is really, like, for me, that's sort of my Super Bowl. Like, I just want to feel like that all. And maybe it's unrealistic to say all of the time, but in that mindset, and when I felt that, even there, it wasn't that there were not hard things that, you know, came in and out and there were challenges, but I just felt like very able to look at it from a different perspective, and it didn't get at me. It didn't bother me. So that is a piece of it. And I think the other piece is I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. So I didn't see my parents have downtime. The only time they had downtime is when they traveled a lot with work. And so I would see them working a ton, like especially my mom, she would work a ton, go in at night, like do all these crazy things. And then she would go on vacation for 2 weeks and then back to the grind. So I didn't grow up with balance. So, yeah. And that's one thing I've realized, like, I don't want for my daughter to see me working all the time. And like, that's not why I do this. That's not why I became an entrepreneur. So that's been something I've had to sort of sort through and just have this kind of realization over the past few weeks that that's not actually why I'm doing this. So I need to kind of stop and be more aware of why I'm doing this.
Yeah. And I think, like, I even teach this in my new course, the Awaken Me course. It's like, it was just this last week, so it's on the top of my mind, is mm-hmm. we are talking about the stories we tell ourselves based on things that have happened. So what I did was I asked him to pinpoint no more than 10, maybe for some it's just 2 or 3 stories from your childhood that are impacting you now. You've already told me 2, right? You told me about the eating and then the balance. And what story are we telling ourselves now about what we learned as a child that we're bringing in and making our own truth? Then we bucket them into themes. So remember back to, like, it's a long time ago, but the teacher in Amy, the third grade teacher in Amy, who was a reading teacher, and you bucket stories into themes. So your life is just a series of stories. So if you have a story and you're reading the book, there's usually a theme to it, right? Sometimes they're positive themes. Sometimes they're ashes to riches or whatever you want to say. Sometimes they're like true crime. I mean, there's always a theme. So what are the themes underlying the stories? And if you could take those stories that you're bringing in now and put them into a theme, you might find a pattern, right? Of how they're impacting you now. And then you just reframe that story. Okay, this is what I was taught then, but guess what I've learned? I've learned from doing all the deep work. I've learned from my intuition. I've learned from my experiences. This is what I want it to mean now. I want it to mean that I can do this differently so my daughter doesn't just see what I saw.
Yeah, that completely makes sense.
Yeah, so think about them as stories, and they all just impact us. And as you're right, as you're saying that, like, people are like, oh, my childhood doesn't impact me, or I don't want to bring that in, or I'm going to be different than that. But it's ingrained in us, right, as we grow, because it was so many years. So we do have to acknowledge it and take the lesson we want to learn out of it, but also acknowledge your husband's bringing his too, like you did in the very beginning. You could tell you've done a lot of work on this.
Yeah, I think when you work with your partner, and obviously you're always, like, you're married to your partner, you know, we've never worked in the capacity where it was like all of a sudden, like full time all the time. So I think very quickly, any of those things that kind of rub you, they're rubbing you all the time because you're like very involved in both of those aspects, and then add a baby into it. Like brand new baby. So, you know, like, I've done a lot of work this year. It's been like, you know, just really a year of like uncovering, you know, the layers of the onion to really understand yeah, just how to like how to interpret this. And I'm sure this is what every entrepreneurial couple feels. I remember when Rick met us for the first time, Rick Mulready, and he was like, what? You're married to you? Like, it just, I think it just blew his mind a little bit, in the sense that how we work together in the business, we're very different in terms of, you know, style types. But yeah, just having that much concentrated time, you know, communication is at the root of that, like being able to communicate effectively and without hurting each other's feelings. And because it really starts to erode multiple places if you don't have that key foundation in place.
Right. And the way you communicate is the way you learn to communicate or avoid communication as a child. When you're bringing that in, I was thinking that earlier when you were saying that, it was like, when you start working together, there's no avoidance. So like when my husband's a petroleum engineer, so when he goes to work, it's some days it's like, oh, good, because he's so freaking loud in the morning. Like you don't even have to put the dishes up that loud. Like, who does that, right? It's just annoying me to no end, because I need quiet, peaceful in the morning. And he is happy, like, we're up, woohoo. And I'm like, stop. So when he leaves, I get that break from that. So I also know, because he's been back in the home for the last 2 years, and we thought about working together for a hot second, and then we're like, no, can't do it. But now I know I don't get that break from him, right? And that's even what you're saying is more amplified, because you don't, those things that annoy you, and even the things that don't, it's 24/7.
Yeah.
And how did you guys overcome, or have you overcome, the barrier of this is work and this is home, and not letting work take over?
Yeah, this is a good question. I think that we actually ended up hiring a company to help us with being, I guess, sort of like an outside perspective. So we went to the integrator for Rocket Fuel, and we actually hired them for a couple of months to help us line things out. So we started operating by the principles of traction, where, and this made a huge difference, where we have a designated issues list. Because this is like the easy thing, right? You're standing around the kitchen counter and you're like, hey, remember that customer thing that happened today? And like, you start talking work. And that's a trigger for me too, because that happened all the time. It still happens on calls with my parents and stuff, right? Like bringing up work stuff. And I'm like, I don't need to know about that. Yeah. So that's not something that I want us to bring up in front of my daughter, Coco. Like, she just doesn't need to hear all that stuff. So we implemented the issues list. So we don't talk about things in person. It just gets on a list. And then we have a weekly L10. And we tried at first to have like Bill and myself and one like person from our team. That did not work well. It got better. It started to get better, but I actually ended up hiring my old boss from when I worked in the fitness industry. And he works as part of our consulting team now. So he's on those calls. And we have our strategist and we have our operations manager. So we have like a mix of people, because we would get on these calls and it was like, it wasn't like we're owners. It was like we're husband and wife. And the way that, you know,
is different.
It is. Yeah. Like the tone in his voice, I was like, you jerk. And then he'd be like, Ashley, like, what's wrong with your face right now? Like, why are you looking like that? And it, you know, just like, you would never say that to somebody else except your partner. Yeah. So that kind of helped dissipate that. And we choose now to only utilize our free time together to like learn new things, instead of like discuss, like there's no issues that him and I need to discuss. Unless it's something we're doing creative together, we sort of have like a bit of a date night theme where we go out to the garage. He's got like a wood stove in there. That's where his office is. And we watch marketing stuff together. So, you know, we've changed the way that we interact in that, you know, in that space.
Oh, I love that. Are you ready to ditch the stress and overwhelm of life and finally find true rest? God designed us for work and for rest, but
It's so much easier to be killing it at the work thing, right? Even if you wear all the hats, do all the things, and think it's impossible to get to a place of rest, your body needs it and your spirit craves it. So how do we implement rest in this crazy modern world? Well, there are 7 types of rest in your busy life that you need to know. God has asked you to rest. He rested on the 7th day as well. So go to godcreatedrest.com/plan. It's free, and find out the 7 types of God-given rest. And ladies, vacation and sleep are not one. The feedback from this 7 type of rest information has been phenomenal. It has been transformative and life-changing. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. godcreatedrest.com/plan. I find that when I've worked with entrepreneurial couples, if they both can stay in their own lane and their own zone of genius, and that's what I meant earlier when I'm like, it's almost better if you have different zones of geniuses, because then you're not stepping on each other's toes. Now, I know things, especially in small business, they're going to override each other a little bit or cross over. But if you could stay in your own lanes, be very successful at working with your spouse.
Yeah, for sure.
Staying in there. The other thing I found that's important is accepting influence, right? Like, are you willing and is he willing to accept influence from you and you from him? Other than, I don't believe that. Or this is when your baggage comes in, right? Your stories that you've learned that you're bringing in. So are you willing to accept it or are you not? Have you run into that where there's been blocks of not accepting influence from each other?
Yeah, for sure. I think what has helped us through that is the L10 structure with having, it's not just him and I having a discussion about like, this is my thoughts and these are your thoughts. It's like, now we are outnumbered by other people on the team. So that's, it's a different ball game when that happens. At least it's influenced us enough to listen to everyone's kind of side of things.
So let's switch to Coco, little sweet girl. I'm so excited about her. And I was so excited when you got pregnant. I was like, oh, I know how long that was coming. And I just get chills now. So how old is she now?
She is 17 months.
No way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Time flies. That's crazy. So I know you're also a very hands-on mom and you guys have a few Airbnb rental type properties. Mm-hmm. How are you managing new mom with everything else? Like, I know your husband coming in was about the same time as the baby, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how are you managing all of that with her?
So we hired, like, our operations manager is also our Airbnb manager. So once, we've got a couple businesses and then adding Coco and all that. So we hired somebody to take care of our Airbnbs, and she's internal. So we have like a weekly call. I get caught up on everything. And so that is essentially outsourced to her. And then, so I had to do that immediately. Like, there's no way that, customer service stuff comes up, things like that. So she fully handles that. And then in terms of the first year was rocky with, I don't know why I didn't understand the concept of like, when you have a child, like now you're on 24/7. Like I don't know how that slipped my mind. Like it really did though. It really did. So we had Coco, and then like 3 weeks in, we got a doula like to help us at night, like a night doula. And I was like, okay, like this is how I'm going to thrive as a mom. I need help. Because I love the things that I get to learn in my business. And of course, like some things are painful lessons and some things are very pleasurable lessons that I love. And I love the balance of both. So I'm very driven by seeing progress and developing in that way. So the first year was rocky because with all the COVID shutdowns and different things, like we had people lined up to be babysitters and things like that. And then, inconsistency with people of that age group at times that they're depending on someone else for a ride, things like that, or COVID restrictions. So it wasn't until the summer that we found somebody consistent that could come to the house. And it was like, that felt like a bit of a game changer. It was like, whoa, like this is what it feels like to be able to work again, like sort of a normal day. But of course, with everyone being at home, one thing that we really found to be rocky was like the office space. Like Coco's room is right above my office too. So like when she's napped, like just these things you don't really think about when you're both working from home and all of a sudden, like you sort of outgrow your space. So we decided once I kind of felt like, because I really just wasn't feeling like myself. It was like, I would think, okay, I'm going to be at work today. And then it was like, oh, babysitter cancels or something happens. And I'm all of a sudden I'm mom now, which obviously you're always mom, but it's right. Different when you're trying to run a business and do these things.
So yeah, shit rolls.
Yeah. So I quickly discovered that that was going to be how I would feel most like myself. And we got an au pair. She came from Germany, November 17th. And it's been great. Like she's here. We have an Airbnb at this house. So she lives in the Airbnb. She helps us with meals. And like, she's like a big sister. So she's always around and she has the weekends off. And that's been really a big game changer. I didn't realize how much that would impact my mental state as an entrepreneur. But the more that I was talking to my therapist, she's like, it kind of seems like things go downhill for you when you don't have a babysitter. I'm like, that's exactly what's happening.
Because the baby takes over and moms want the baby to be the priority. And we want to spend our time there. And you know, like she's dependent on you and the business can slide until she's asleep or till this, but all of those things. Now, I love that you hired these. So when I do coaching with women, and I coach very high achieving women business owners that are just killing it, the number one sticking point I usually have with them is when I say, have you thought about hiring a house manager? Have you thought about hiring somebody to be there after school with your kids? Have you thought about this? And they look at me like I'm crazy. First, they don't want to spend the money to do it. And I'm like, okay. And they want to be that super mom, that super woman. But here's the problem. They're all cratering. So how did you have a problem coming to terms with not being able to do it all or not wanting to hire that for it?
I had heard of this like mom guilt, like thing that was like, maybe you'll feel that. But I think I learned sort of a little bit earlier on in my business that if I could pay somebody else to do something that allowed me to level up and do something else, whether it be like that allows me to get a workout in and I'm going to feel amazing after that, or it allows me to like create my next funnel or do another offer or something of that sort, that it was always worth it. Like, I think you're crazy not to hire somebody. Yeah. Like, how are you going to? Yeah. Like I think that I'm a very different mom when I don't have this, like my business is sort of my outlet. And so if I didn't have that, like now when I spend time, like, so it's wonderful. I get, my daughter and I, she gets up every day. I'm there, get her in her high chair. Jolina takes over. We have, lunch. We're all in the same, same area. We have lunch together. And then I take over at 4 o'clock. So it's like, that's like a perfect balance for me. Some people might want to be more hands-on than that, but that for me is like a perfect balance. So I think everyone has kind of a different expectation maybe of what that looks like.
I love that because I know for me, it took me a long time to think, oh, I could hire this done. Oh, well, no, I really haven't made the money yet. But then somebody told me, maybe it was even you or in a group with you, that I know that's one impact you have had on me actually, but it's, if you just hire one person for 5 hours at $12 an hour or whatever it is you can afford, you just get started. And I know in this, like just launching this last new product, I mean, I'm running 3 jobs right now. I have a counseling center. I do coaching for Michael Hyatt still. I have an online business. Like if I don't have help, like Amy's going to crack. And I hired quite a few people, just launch people, like contractors for that product launch. And it saved me. But what it really did was it helped me get it out the door. because I knew if I did not have help in certain areas, I was not going to get it out the door with everything else on my schedule.
Yeah, I really think that this is a little bit of a part of the abundance mindset. And I noticed one thing. So I had this kind of epiphany right like before Coco was born. And you know, when you sit on things, like sometimes, you know, you'll be doing something and you're like, oh, like if I had, like, just say you're cooking dinner and you could really use this tool for the kitchen that would make your life so much easier. And instead of taking action and just adding it to a list and ordering it, we're like, yeah, I'll do that sometime. And then the next time you come in the kitchen and you're like, you have that same thought. And it's like Groundhog Day, this like recurring thing over and over and over again. I think I learned that instead of like, I would rather take action and just get it done than be in this state of constant, like using up my brain power of thinking about the same things over and over again. So I think that once I kind of got on that track, it was like, you know, when I think of something, it just gets done. Like, and it's the same with, you know, I think being in that headspace of, I've got the space to like get this business off the ground. If you make excuses for it, you're fighting for your excuse or you're fighting for your opportunity, like either way you put it. So you might as well be pushing in the direction of your goals than fighting for like, I can't afford, like staying stuck in that excuse.
I love that because there's so many people listening to this podcast that are in that space, right? They're trying to get started or they're not sure yet. And you know what I do now? It's so silly and so simple, but it works, is I keep a not to-do list. So it's just right here to the side of me. And every day when I do something and I'm thinking somebody else should be doing this, or why am I doing this, or it's my drudgery zone, or it's not. My goal this year is to move only into my zone of genius, which is creating content and delivering live material and workshops, delivering it. But to get there, I got to figure out, okay, well, who's going to answer this scheduling problem I got here that I shouldn't be doing? And who's going to do, I mean, I could look over to my email and just probably tell you 15 things. Like, why am I even in this email box? So I keep a not to-do list. And as it grows and fills the page, I then theme it. Theme is my theme today. I theme it. Like, are there things that a VA could do that's admin related? Is it customer service? Is it marketing? Like, I try to bucket it like that. And then I go find the person that can do that for me. And that has made a huge difference. But that's like my big goal, is by the time I hit the end of this year, Amy will not be touching anything on that not to-do list. But I have to invest in it because it's the life I want. Like, to live that life. And balance, I think, is a tricky word. Like, it's different for everybody. But for me, I don't, my kids are all in college. But so now I get the luxury of doing what I want to do. And it's great. But now I find I want to be there every bit as much at home as I did when my kids were there. And like when they came back for the holidays, for those four, they were home. Well, some of them 2 weeks, some of them four. I wanted to be there with them fully. And I thought, I finally could do that, except for I launched a product and kind of messed that up and I didn't plan ahead. I'm not doing that next year. Like, I learned pretty quick. But I also wanted to have the Christmas party at my house for the counseling center. And that's a big to-do. And I also had traveling to do for work and all these other things. Who's going to decorate my house? Like, I don't have time for this. And I have a house manager that comes 3 days a week. She's freaking fantastic. People think it's such a luxury, or gosh, I'm spoiled doing that. Yeah, I probably am. I'm just going to own it. And it's the best thing I ever did. Like, really, she decorated my entire house, wrapped my presents. Like, but that freed me up to serve 1,800 women in a Facebook group.
Yeah. I remember reading this story of this guy that his kids had grown up and he actually gave up. Like, it was like a series of like three things. He gave up his car payment, his gym membership, and a cable subscription so he could keep his nanny. Because it was that much of a difference for him that she put all the dishes away and he didn't have to cook. And like, it just, that is what it is. Like when we talk about like drudgery zone, disinterest zone, all those things that are not what we want to be doing. Like, doesn't it make sense that it's just smarter to outsource that stuff so you can focus on your gift? And your gift is usually how you're going to make money and be able to be, it's going to be easy, like being in that zone. And yeah, it just all makes sense.
And I love employing people. Like my house manager, it is her love language to do that. Like she cleans the coffee pot with a Q-tip. Come on. Like my husband says, I have zero domestic skills. He is not wrong. It is so far in the disinterest zone of my life. And it comes from childhood of being the maid service as a child. And whole story we don't even need to go to. But she loves it. Like the smile she gets from bringing me a smoothie. And I'm like, why does this light her up? I don't get it. But yeah. I know what impact it has on her family as well.
Yeah.
And the people I hire, like I love being able to hire people and help them. I do.
Yeah.
So, all right. It has been such a pleasure having you on here. I'm sad it took us to podcast to catch up. But I'm also glad you're here. And I want to thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Amy. It was just a pleasure to catch up. And yeah, I'm just so happy to chat with you again.
Yes. And tell people where they can find you if they want for more information. I'll put it in the show notes too.
Sure. Yeah. My Instagram is at the Ashley Shaw. That's the best place to connect with me.
Instagram's pretty good. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. That wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business. And your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection, we're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.